Blog Talk Radio.
Happy, blessed, thankful, anointed, and appointed 2022. Oh, my God, my God, my God. What an exciting time in the body of Christ as we're going forward in a song of praise and a song of worship here on the Manner of Speaking, saying that our God is an awesome God. Just raise your hand to heaven and just say, thank you, God, for being an awesome God who watches over his word to perform it. Say thank you, Lord, for being an awesome God, a God who watches over his word, hallelujah, to perform it. Oh, he said that for one jot be changed, he said heaven and earth will pass away, and his word will stand forever. You see, when the power of God speaks to us through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can stand on that word, and because we know it came from him. He said his word would not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. Oh, thank you, Father God, for a new year, a year of dunamis, which means dynamic power, the year of Shekinah glory, the year of the latter rain to all that have been praying in the previous year, to those of us who experienced turbulence, you spoke peace. To those of who experienced affliction, you spoke healing. To those who experienced lack, you spoke prosperity. To those who were brokenhearted, you spoke mended. To those who felt casted down and left out, you spoke beloved. And, oh, Father God, we just thank you with humble hearts, with a mouth filled with praise, with our hands raised to heaven. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the miracles in the here and now, the miracles that are happening now, and the miracles that are going to happen on tomorrow, the day after, and the day after that, Lord. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're here in the continental U.S. of A., or whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Africa, or whether you're in Asia, it does not matter where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty there. For he is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, that's right, all-knowing, and omnipresent at every place at every given time. Oh, just thank you, God, as our eyes are filled with tears of joy, tears of thanksgiving, just tears of exaltation. This is going to be a great year for us. You're talking about deliverance, the miracles. I feel it in my spirit. And as I was praying before going into the broadcast, I said, God, anoint the word. Anoint the deliverer. Anoint the listener. That this blessing, this miraculous intervention that's happening here and now will produce manifold results. Oh, and it will manifest on the physical level. Someone out there in listening land, let me tell you something. God has heard your prayer. You thought that he turned away from you? No. God had to rearrange some things in you first and in your life so that you would not go down the wrong path. Now, when God does manifest what you've been praying for, don't forget from where whence you came, lest ye return back to that former state as a chastisement. That is the word of knowledge. God has already done it. You don't have to pray about it anymore. Just start thanking him. Just start praising him, giving him the respect and the honor that he deserves. He's already done it. He said, don't pray about it anymore. You prayed about your healing, your recovery. God said it's already done. You're going to get the result tomorrow. The power of his presence has broken the very arsenal of the enemy, the lion wonder, the wicked one. Oh, through the blood of Jesus, he is cast down. He is destroyed because of God our Father. And through his loving kindness and tender mercy, through our Messiah, our mediator, our high priest, and long life, and I just in the spirit, hallelujah, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. This is a very unusual presentation today, but let us let the power of the Holy Spirit speak. You thought that God had said to you that your blessing is going to just be money? Yes, your need is supplied. But God said longevity, long years on the earth. Those long years that God gives us on the earth, living past 75, that's a privilege. That's right. Because God promised us 70, that's 70. But many of us are going to live past that 70, 75, 80 mark. Some of us God has granted to live to be 100, to be 110. That's a blessing from God. This is God displaying his power, his love, his thoughtfulness, his loving kindness, his tender mercy for us. So we should not take longevity as an opportunity to go and do what we want to do. No, we have to follow that path of righteousness. We have to follow that path of holiness. We have to still follow that path of humility. And it's not about what we put on. It's about what we take off, taking off the flesh, hatred, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, malice, unforgiveness. We have to take that mess off because it is a hindrance. It is a weight to us. No, holiness means the manner in which we conduct ourselves. Of course, we dress moderately and modestly. God wants us to look good. He wants us to be in excellent health. He wants us to prosper in all that we do, but we have to be holy. And holy is not about holding your head down and wearing clothes that are totally ubiquitous to today's society. It's talking about the manner of which you conduct yourself to give God the honor, the praise, and the glory. When God blesses us, we ought to give him praise. When God recognizes us, we should give him praise. When God gives us that breakthrough, we should give him the praise because it belongs to him anyway. And just thank God for Jesus. And thank God that he gave us this treasure in an earthen vessel. And we're going to have a wonderful, productive, progressive, and prosperous, healthy, dynamic year. I see God just doing some breakthroughs that I tell you, it's only him. And I don't care who likes him and who doesn't, who may say, you're an educator. You know, you're educated in the secular setting of things. That's like a secular setting. Education was very, very opportunistic for me. It was a very fortunate endeavor for me. And I will continue to be an effective educator. But my first delegation is to Father God, who called me, who qualified me, who anointed me, and who appointed me. That's who my first delegation is to. And if some people don't like the methodology in which I conduct my affairs, well, that's too bad. Take it up with God. Because from this day to the day I turn past 100, I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to be an oracle of his truth, of his purity. I'm going to just call it out and spell it out and put it out there in public so that God's people can be free. How can we draw people to God when we are in bondage? How can we speak words of healing when we're broken down and afflicted? How can we speak wealth and prosperity and then we're in lack? The kingdom of heaven knows none of those things. It's just out of the infinite mercy of Almighty God, through the name and through the authority of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, that he breaks those strongholds, that he destroys those instances. It's because of him he does it. But when we walk in the truth, we will escape so many things, and we will be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm just praising God today and just excited about this new year. And let me tell you something. We're going to see some things that are going to be on the negative side as we're seeing the preparation of the new world order really taking manifold. And I know some things that many of you are saying, don't go too far. Let me tell you something. I'm just merely putting it out there, but in upcoming broadcasts, as the Holy Spirit leads me to speak, I will speak. This false leader is pretending to be a gatherer of nations, all centered around Israel, spiritual Israel. See, understand something. Spiritual Israel encompasses the very anointing of God's presence, the sacred location of our Messiah. And here, we already know there's only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But here comes this man who's going to pretend to be a gatherer of nations. We're going to talk about that later on. I'm under the anointing of God. I'm under the protection of God the Almighty and of the holy angels. So nothing will withstand and come against me and God's people and our families and our coworkers and our communities because God has us. But as the anointing deals with us, that's the way that we're going to deal. So we just thank God for his loving kindness, his tender mercies, and all that he has granted unto us. And just thank God for longevity, for excellent health, for vitality, for vim, for love, for all the wonderful fruits of the Spirit. Rejoice. Rejoice. Do you know what to rejoice, what rejoice means? That means to praise and rethink and repraise in the Lord. Oh, righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord and sing unto him with the what? With the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment in the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth down the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save to the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and that hope in his mercy to deliver their souls from death and to keep alive in the famine. Oh, because you know what? Because the famine is coming. And God is going to quicken us and keep us fed. He's going to supply our every need so that we're able to feed others. Praise God for Jesus. And when God gives us this prosperity and this wealth in our houses, let us not be foolish and go out and just spend and just utilize it for our own deeds, because God is giving this to us so that we can help and bless others. Amen. We got to do the right thing, people. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let the mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. God has already added a blessing to the reading of his word. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That was Psalms, the 33rd division. What an invigorating way as we've gone into the year of 2022. Now, I'm not saying to people to go and make resolutions. But let me tell you something. Resolutions are carnal promises that we make to ourselves. We shouldn't do that because guess what? Nearly 75% of the time that we make those statements, we don't keep them. I'm going to lose 50 pounds in the new year. By May, I'm going to have lost 50 pounds. And the next thing you know, you've lost 5 pounds and you're gaining 10. You should say, I trust in God that he will help me so that I'm able to manage my weight properly. And many things just need to be readjusted, the way that we eat, the time intervals that we eat. I know that the Lord has dealt with me regarding time intervals when I eat a meal. And you know something? I'm being obedient. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Because living a long earthly life, you want to make sure that the quality of your life matches the years of your existence on the earth. That's right. You know, we have to do the right thing. Be moderate and temperate in all things. And this is what we need to do. My determination this year is that I will become more focused, not only just in the area of education on the secular level, but that my focus will be more in tune to feeding the sheep of God, being available to assist those who are in necessity, being more of a prayer warrior. That's right, and getting the results through God, through the authority of Jesus Christ. And to be a noteworthy leader. I'm not looking for personal recognition. I'm not looking for a stellar presentation. I'm just looking to do what is right so that God can be glorified. And when you glorify God, your life will just be blessed. Your existence will just be blessed. And that is my desire. And as I'm blessed, to be able to bless you as well. That's right. Because we have to recognize something. These are God's gifts. And in his life, he gives us those gifts to glorify him and to do. So amen, thank God for the reading of his word. We're going to speak today on the manner of speaking, talking about the ministry, the power of the ministry. And let me tell you something about ministry. We laid the foundation talking about Peter when he recognized who Jesus was. And he said, thou art Christ, son of the living God. He recognized who he was. through the revelation that God gave him. Now, many of you, and as many of us have, criticized the very concept of Peter's personality. But Peter had enough insight where God revealed to him who Jesus is. And he spoke it. He didn't negate to speak it. And as a result of his due diligence, despite all of his other shortcomings, we already know he had a bad temper, and he was a person that was not constant sometimes of keeping his promises of Jesus calling before the time closed. But nevertheless, he was chosen as the chief apostle because he knew who Jesus is and was. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Not from what you've read, but on a personal level. And this is what God wants to do. He wants a personal relationship with all of us through the name and through the authority of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And this is where the origin of greatness all began. And it began with Peter in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Let's go there very briefly. And then we're going to go to the book of Mark, where the commission of every believer has been noted and has been presented of what God expects from us. So here is the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Here is the very book in which Peter says who Jesus is. Let's go starting at the 13th verse, Matthew the 16th chapter, the first gospel. And you know, Matthew was the gospel to the nation of the house of Judah. That's right. So we have to understand there was a difference between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is referred to as the Lion. That means the King of Judah. That's right. So you have the nationality of the Jews. Then you have the spirituality concept of of Israel, okay? And so in knowing this, we understand that there is a difference. See, the essence of the cultural Jews taught that the law of Moses was the way to attain righteousness. But however, through the very perception of truth, which is that acknowledging Jesus Christ, the spiritual concept of reality, constituted to the fact of the spiritual Israelites. That's right, because the Israelites, don't forget this. Why they stood out so pragmatically was because they were the first origin that accepted, the first cultural origin, might we say, that accepted the monotheistic. Monotheistic means one. One God belief concept. They were the only nation that did. The other nations, the Hittites, the Assyrians, the Babylonians believed in polytheism, which means the multiplicity of gods. The Romans, the Greeks, they all adopted the polytheistic concept of belief. But the Israelites were the first nation that acknowledged the existence of God the Almighty, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah. They acknowledged him. So this is why there's so much emphasis placed upon Israel. And we must pray for a spiritual Israel to rise up and that prophet, that true prophet, take a stand against the son of perdition, against this new world initiation. Well, that's another presentation, but let us go forward. Here we go. The 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Jesus is asking them, "Who do they say that I am?" The 14th verse says, "And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias." And you know that Elias, if you take it into the concept of the national acclaim of the name Elias, it translates to Elijah. Elijah, as we say, Yah. Elijah. Elijah was the prophet of the whirlwind. He was so anointed by the power of God that he walked so closely to God until when he became so old and waxed in years, God just took him up in the cloud. He never saw the physical translation of his flesh going into the ground. He was so anointed and appointed that God just translated him. And he had lived so many years. See, God wants us to live a long earthly life because we got a lot of work to do. And we can't quit. We're too legit to quit. We have to go forward. Despite what we see around us, God has promised us divine protection and to keep us. That's right. So we fear no elementation whatsoever because God has us. And he has us under his wings of protection. And here, he said, some say that thou art Jeremiah. Now, if we translate Jeremiah into the very essence of its origin, it would be Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah wept for Israel because Israel, the house of Judah, and the house of Israel, there was a definitive split. And those who professed to love God and to be the very beloved people of God had got to the point they start following idols, worshiping very iconic measures. They became materialistic. They became carnal and forgot all that God had did for them when he delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh in the land of bondage, in the land of Egypt. They had forgotten all those things. They got comfortable and they settled in and they began to just feel their oats, as the modern day phase of terminology would say. And as a result, they just became too lackluster and they forgot. And Jeremiah wept because he told them, if you don't return back to God and return back to the truth, you are going to suffer for your disobedience. And surely God's hand of chastisement came against them. He allowed very inconspicuous individuals to have authority over them. See, we're protected when we walk in the light of the truth and we remain humble. That's the problem now. People are exalting themselves. And they're becoming so self-inflated, infatuated with image and with people praising them. No. And the focus is taken off God. When the focus is taken off God, you're standing on shaky ground. Something is going to cave in. And this is what had happened. And he warned them of God's wrath to come. But listen. He said, some say that thou art Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say ye that I am? So Jesus is saying to the disciples, those that have been following him from place to place and seeing the miracles, the manifold of deliverance and the signs and wonders that occur. He said, now who do you say that I am? You know, you had been with him all this time. You can't even answer the question about who Jesus is after seeing all that he did. Oh, listen to this. And what happened? And Simon Peter answered, the least likely of the followers answered, Simon Peter, and said, thou art the Christ. That means Christ means the anointed. Not only the anointed, the appointed, the sent, the commissioned, the image of God. You are Christ, son of the living God. See, the rest of those other gods were dumb idols. There's only one living God, the God that spoke every living thing into existence. And he is the one, and you are his only begotten son. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. So he's saying, this is who you are. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He's saying, blessed. Because God, my Father, you the divine revelation of who I am, and I was sent here unto this generation. And blessed are you. But see, when God gives you a revelation, you are blessed. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter how people view you, what their opinion of you. If God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Because God can speak one word and destroy your enemy, drop dead. God can speak one word, and those that settled against you, that tried to strive against you, will be wiped away or sent away. Because he is an awesome God. And he said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. So So that's what he said to him. He said, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And because of that revelation, this is what our Lord said. And I say also unto thee, he's talking to Simon Peter, that thou art Peter. That's when Peter's name got changed. See, when God anoints us and appoints us, sometimes he sends people away from us. Sometimes he separates us. He puts us in that corner so he can deal with us because he has a special mission for us that we have to make sure that we go through with. And he said, he gave him a new name. He assigns us a new name. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon your revelation that you received, he said, I will build my church. This is the church we're talking about. This, these buildings that we have, that's not the church. That's a brick and mortar structure. What is the problem in this day and time? Why is there such a power failure? Why is there such a lack of limitation? Because we're translating our information and our focus in the wrong direction. The true church is a spiritual body. It is an assembly of believers. How do we assemble? Not in the building. The building is a confinement. If I turn around and put my objects in a building, that means my objects are limited to that location. But when you don't encase or encompass something and you give it free will and integrity to go with the flow, it is not contained. The true church lies within each and every one of us. We're the church. See, please get that straight. Signing your name on a documentation from a brick and mortar structure, that's not a church. Please, you cannot join the church. You have to be born into the church. And that church is Jesus Christ. And how are you born into the church of Jesus Christ? Through the confession of your faith, through repentance, through belief, through opening your heart so the Holy Spirit can come in and abide with you, and that you are one with Christ, and you are one with God the Father. This is how you join the church. It's not a legalistic a persuasion or connotation. It is spiritual that brings about tangible, physical results. This is what the church is. See, God wants us to get this back. We got to go back to the Genesis. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the true church. And we are the extended vines of the true church. Through our belief and through our confession in him, we have been given authority. And listen to this. He said, for what? Flesh and blood is not revealed unto you. He said, but upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means the enemy cannot destroy it. Can't tear it down, can't limit it. Why? Because it wasn't built with brick and mortar. You got a brick and mortar structure. Somebody has to get to cut the heater off in the basement, in the furnace, and leave it there. And what happens? The building can burn down. But you see, the true church can't be burned down. The true church doors can never be locked because Jesus is the author and the finisher. That's why he's the originator of the true church. So the brick and mortar structure, get that out your mind. Get the church within you right so that the power of God can resonate, can illuminate, and manifold the very miracles that Jesus spake. This is what we're supposed to be doing. He said, and I will give to thee, here's the 19th verse, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is speaking to Peter, but he's also speaking to every one of us. Where are your keys at? You don't have access if you don't have no keys. If you turn around and lose your keys to your house, how are you going to get it, gain entrance into your house? Well, you got to call either a locksmith or maybe an extended family member or friend or somebody to let you in. You got to have access to get in your house. Now, unless you have left a window open or a door unlocked, and that wouldn't be wise to do. We have to redeem the time because we know the days are evil. You give an open porte for someone to gain unlawful entrance into your place. So no, to have the keys means you have the ability the authority to the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom? He said, and whatsoever that thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That means that through the authority of knowing who Jesus Christ is and being a believer and walking in the power of his anointing, not our anointing. We're only anointed when we walk in the truth of Jesus Christ. Because remember, our power is very, very limited. His power is limitless. And when we gain access to the keys, we bind the wickedness. We bind the condition. We bind the arbitration of an infiltration of wickedness. We cast down every imagination that exalts itself above God. We call things into order, though we don't see them with the physical vision or the polarized vision or the natural vision. We see it through the spiritual concept. And because of our diligence, of our faith in Jesus Christ and the power of his presence, God will make it manifest. And this is what he's telling Peter. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on this earth is loose in heaven. And there is nothing that can challenge this. And this is where the power comes from. And we need to get back into the way of seeking the power of God, because it is he that makes the miracles happen. We've gotten so closed in. We get hooked on personalities, hooked on individuals, and all these things. And we forget where the true power lies. Let's go to Mark, the 16th chapter. We're going to continue on Sunday with this message, okay? Let's go to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, Mark, remember, is the gospel to the Romans. That's right. So the Romans were considered as pagans, because remember, as I indicated to you earlier, that they dwell within what we call a polytheistic society, which means they believed in a multiplicity of gods. You know, they believed in Hercules. They believed in Eros. They believed in Diana. They believed in all these various deities. That's right, that everything reflected a certain divine character. And so that was a false representation of truth. And so here this gospel shows them, as the Romans were considered as pagans, that they too would have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because remember, when Jesus went to the Israelites, they were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. They were the dignitaries of society. They thought that the law of Moses redeemed and protected them from everything. No. As when Jesus told them, except a man be born again of the water and spirit, he can no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So here he's speaking to those even in Rome. And he said, and Jesus said to them, let's go to the 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye, talking to his disciples, into all the world. He's talking to us too. And preach the gospel to every creature. Are we all going to preach in a podium? Are we all going to preach in a definitive location? No. Some of us are going to be on the technological platform. Some of us are going to be vivid in the community. Some of us are going to be at our locations where we work. Some of us are going to be in our social mindful affiliations in which we're connected with. And preaching means proclaiming, making statement, and giving verifiable information to every creature. That means it doesn't matter what your nationality is, what your zip code is, what your level of association is, what your educational level of acclaim is. You are a child of God. Whether you have come back to the manifold and become a beloved child of God, or whether you're simply just wondering where you are and what you need to do, you still belong to God. Because remember, we all existed on the cosmos or spiritual level before we became physical beings, okay? So he said, and to preach the gospel to every creature. That means we got to get busy, people. We've got to get busy teaching the truth, reaching out, and getting unprogrammed to this world, the systematic exchange of this world. We see where this planet is going. Without the intervention of Almighty God through the authority of Jesus Christ, it's going to continue to plunder. So we got to get out and we got to get busy, okay? He said, he that believeth and is baptized, that means submerged, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, that means those who turn away and say, I don't want to hear what you got to say. You know I'm okay because, you know, I come from a good family and this and that and other, and they won't receive us. We don't get mad with them. We're not going to get angry with them and want to tell them all, but you know you're doing it. No. We will speak the word, plant the seed, and water the seed with grace, and let God give the increase. And if they still refuse, well, we've done our job. God is not going to charge us for them. And all of this is what I love, the 17th verse. Circle the 17th verse, if you will. And these signs shall follow them that believe. See, as believers, we're doers. We're practitioners. We shouldn't be going around speaking signs. I got to go contact this psychic. It is forbidden by God the Almighty for us to deal with psychics, necromantics, sorcerers, practitioners of witchcraft. Those things are damnable heresies. They are disrespect to God. God does not look upon those things favorably. And we see that these types of practices have actually emerged into the brick and mortar settings. Many of them are allowing this because they are lost. Because they don't understand the concept that they are the church. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, shall they cast out devils. Every one of us has that authority through the power of Almighty God, through Jesus Christ. Are we rising to the occasion? Are we doing this? Are we sitting on the sidelines just being spectators? No. We got to get up and get busy. And God has us covered. He has us protected. Then nothing can hurt us or harm us or put us in danger because he's got his angels watching over us. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. Well, now we're going to get into later broadcasts talking about the gift of tongues, the speaking of tongues, and new tongues. When y'all say you're speaking in a new tongue, you're speaking in a different mannerism. That means your conversation is reflective of a different level of existence. That's a new tongue. Now, speaking in the gift of tongues, we're going to get into future broadcasts about that. He says, what else? They shall take up serpents. That means, now I'm not, that's not saying go and pick up a cobra. Go pick up an anaconda. Go pick up a boa constrictor. No, that is not what Jesus is saying. He's speaking in metaphoric language. They shall take up serpents. That means they shall confront the enemy. That means confront. You take up something, you confront or come face to face with the enemy. That means and be victorious because God is with us. Remember David told Goliath that this day shall the Lord deliver thee into my hands. That's the kind of victory God promises us when we go forward in his name. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. What is he telling us? If we come across something that has been tainted or something that is not pure, maybe intentional or unintentional to hurt us, God will not allow us to ingest it, or he will cause something to happen and we're not able to have accessibility to it. Sometimes you may even wonder, why was I not able to get to that favorite delicatessen to get that submarine sandwich? You don't know what God kept you from. There was a testimony that one minister made. He said that for some reason he was not able to get to the delicatessen that day. And come to find out, there was a contamination with some of the meat products that were there. That's the hand of God that keeps us and protects us. He said he will do that. If we drink any deadly thing, it won't make us sick. It won't kill us. It won't hurt us. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means we're to pray for those with physical afflictions. We're to pray for those with psychological invariances and other types of addictions and not operate in the spirit of fear, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind wherewith we cry, Abba, help us, Father. And in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to them through the name of Jesus. We speak wholesomeness over them in the name of Jesus. We speak redemption over them in the name of Jesus. We speak deliverance over them in the name of Jesus. He said, and this is what our mission is to do. And God desires us to do those things. And if we want a glorious and victorious life on this earth, we've got to be obedient and begin to operate in the power of God's presence. Well, listen, have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week. We'll pick you up again on Sunday. And listen, keep those testimonies coming. And for Peter overcame the devil by the words of his testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And remember, there's power, power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You can always connect with me here on the Blog Talk Radio Network or even on the Facebook page of Abby Seltz. And I'll be sure, if you inbox me, I'll be sure to respond to your prayer request, and I'll be sure to connect with you. For my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask him to think. You have your host with the most, your co-teacher, Abby Self, known as the Esquire and Motor City Mile Ronnie, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me too, because we're in this together. And we'll see you again later on this week. Have a blessed, miracle-filled week full of joy, peace, happiness, and all of the splendors of heaven. Oh, yes. Yeah.